You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show on Joy 1250.
Love, exciting and new. Come aboard. We're expecting Drew.
Well, we are about to interview a rock star, and a I don't know if she's comfortable being labeled like this, but the reality is she's an ex-hooker, and we're interviewing them on their honeymoon, folks. Check this story out. Annie LaBere worked for 11 years as a prostitute and escort in Las Vegas, which included catering to celebrities and professional athletes, and Oz is a founding member and guitarist for the heavy metal band Striper, and last week I had Michael Sweet on the show. And then somehow we found out that Oz and Annie are getting married. And guess when they got married, Tim? Guess when they got married?
Just recently?
Last night, baby.
Oh.
Last night in Las Vegas. And guess what? We are going to talk to them right now on the first morning of their honeymoon. What a perfect time to hear this love story.
And they're 2 hours behind us still, aren't they?
I know. I think that. Did we wake them up?
You're a real jerk.
Am I not the most intrusive host in the history of radio? Oz Fox and Annie LaBere. Congratulations, boys and girls. Congratulations.
Hi.
Hi. Well.
Hello.
Well, the first thing I got to ask is, how is Bridezilla and Ozzy Bear doing today?
We're doing fantastic. Woo! Wow, I'm telling you.
Oz, you've gone from Sin Dizzy to Sin City. Quite a journey you've got going on there, man. So I guess the first question I really should ask is, how was last night?
I was blown away. I thought it was just an amazing turnout. And
a turnout? Hold on, I'm talking about the other part.
You mean the after part?
Yes. No, I was hoping there'd be no turnout for those festivities.
Let's just say I'm in heaven.
Oh, my
Absolutely.
Goodness. All right, let's go back to the ceremony, because unfortunately it was 7 o'clock your time, which was 10 o'clock my time, and I was at a pub listening to a blues man just absolutely destroy the joint. It was amazing. So my apologies. I didn't watch the simulcast of your wedding on your church's website. What did I miss, Annie?
Oh, my goodness. It was fantastic. You know, just a beautiful ceremony. Oz sang to me a gorgeous song called Baby. I got to the altar, and my dad gave me away. Then I got up there, and I interrupted my pastor.
Gee, I find that hard to believe.
Thank him, okay? I'm such a bold little brat. And then, you know, Oz, you know, he came time to exchange rings. Well, Michael Sweet sang, honestly. It was gorgeous. And as we lit our unity candle, I was just bawling. I couldn't hold it, and I thought I was going to just make it, but nope. We also sang Annie's song to each other.
Nice.
And then came the ring ceremony, and I'll let Oz tell you that story.
All right, Oz, let's hear it.
Well, you know, my son was the ring bearer for Annie.
Right.
And I wanted to make sure he had all the instructions down, and I went ahead and, you know, I had the ring set up in a box, and I gave it to him and told him, okay, when they want the ring, just walk over and hand it to me. That's all you got to do, and walk back into place, right? And in the meantime, all this stuff's going on around his pictures, blah, 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 you know, it just went on and on.
Thousands of pictures.
And we get up to the altar, and when they ask for the ring, my son brings the ring up to me and for Annie, and I went and pulled it out for her, and then he turned around and asked about the ring for me, and I forgot it and left it in the car.
Oh, you big meathead. Are you kidding me?
It was hilarious.
So my buddy, who's my best man, Ray Schneider, real quick, took his ring off and handed it to me, so so she could have a ring to put on me.
Oh, man. What an absolute cement move that was. Wow.
Yeah.
That was awesome, though.
Well, you know, you got to have some chuckles, and if you can't laugh at that kind of stuff, then something's
right?
wrong.
Right? No wedding's perfect.
Well, mine was. Mine was absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely perfect. Yeah. No. Let's get into the love story. How did you guys meet?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, it started with me going out to eat with one of the members of DC Talk, Kevin Max. And Kevin and I have been friends for quite some time, and at the time he moved to Las Vegas, I think around 2005 or so.
Right.
And then I started going out to Vegas to start rehearsing for the new Murder by Pride album back in 06. And I had met up with Kevin for dinner in Vegas, and he kind of mentioned that he had a friend that was going to come and join us, and in comes this
bombshell,
gorgeous girl named Heather Veach.
That's not Heather where I thought Veach, we were going.
Heather Veach. Heather Veach was is a she has a ministry called JC's Girls, Girls, Girls.
Oh, okay. And, oh, I know who she is. Yeah, you're right, right, right.
Yeah, yeah. So she has an outreach to strippers here in Vegas, and she sat down and started talking, and I was just really blown away by her ministry and what she did. And so I ended up becoming MySpace friends with Heather. And when she accepted me as a friend, I noticed in her top friends was ex-hooker Annie Laubert, and I had to see what this was all about. Because, you know, I mean, the neat thing about these ministries is that they're reaching into a place that the churches don't go into.
Yeah, right, right.
And are afraid to go in there, and to hear God's raising up these women who have been in this business, and they know the pain and the torture. And everything that these girls have to go through, and because God's made such a radical change in their hearts, they want to go in and kind of give that same thing to those girls so that they can maybe get out of it. And I think that's awesome. Yeah. It's a lot like what Stryper did when we started off in the clubs, playing in the heavy metal rock clubs and stuff.
Yeah.
And trying to do the same thing, so to speak, because churches weren't going in there as well. And so I started reading Annie's testimony, and I was floored. I mean, I absolutely, I wept after I read her testimony on MySpace. She accepted me as a friend. I had a friend requested her, and she, a couple days later, she did. And so we started emailing each other, and I just would say quick little messages like, hey, I really like what you guys are doing. I think you and Heather are amazing. And I told them that I'd be praying for them. And I left it at that, you know. At the time, I was going through a pretty devastating divorce, and it was just, you know, I was thinking, well, you know, I have nothing to lose to just, you know, reach out to these girls and not, you know, not to try to
no agenda
after anything.
Yeah, no agenda or anything. Yeah, yeah,
right, no agenda. But it was nice to be able to, you know, kind of talk to some girls, and it was kind of different, you know. So Annie and I just kind of started corresponding a little bit here and there, and we finally met in February 2nd of 2008. I had a friend of mine who asked me to jam with them in their band called Playground here in Las Vegas. So I came out to jam, and I asked Annie and Heather to come out, but Annie was the only one who showed up.
Do you think there was a plot kind of going down here? Was there?
No, I really don't think so. I really honestly don't think.
But hold
Annie
on, you're not the one to ask that question of though. Annie, was there a little like? Is there a reason that your friend didn't show up with you that night?
No, but you know, actually, Heather, when I had mentioned, you know, who's this Oz guy and what's Stryper? And I honestly didn't know. I'm so serious, Drew. I did not know what Stryper was. I was like, Stryper, what kind of band is that? And then I remembered them from way back when I was on the school bus when I was like 16, 17, and listening to Hell with the Devil. And I thought, my friends were like, yeah, To Hell with the Devil. And I thought, I thought it was actual devil music. And I was like, oh, I was afraid of it. So I didn't pursue listening to them. I was back then listening to, you know, like Prince, Michael Jackson. See, not that that's not devil music, you know. Not to drop any names, but I mean, it was like I had no clue what was going on, and I was a little bit of a rocker fan. I listened to a lot of Def Leppard and a little bit of Motley Crue, and Rat, a little bit of Poison. But
right.
You know, it's so crazy when I heard who they were. I was like, I kind of remember them, and then I thought they're Christian. No, No way.
No.
And so Heather, I said,
because Christians don't wear spandex, right?
No, and they don't wear makeup, but you know, I'm digging it, okay? And so she's like, you know, that's the guy for you. He is a nice guy. And I said, well, you know, I'm not really looking for anyone. She's like, well, Annie, I'm just being honest with you. If you ever could hook up with someone in your life that would treat you right, that would be a good man, it would be him. That's your man.
Yeah.
And if you guys met each other, I know for sure you'd hit it off.
Yeah.
I was like, really? So then Oz kept emailing me back and forth, being all nice and polite. And I'm thinking, well, he's not interested in me. So I finally did go to see him. We were just friends, and there was a little bit of a spark there. But he asked me to go to dinner with him after. I said, no, I couldn't. And then, the next morning, honey, you said, let's go have pancakes. And I turned him down because I wasn't ready at the time, and he had to leave town. And he took that as a total rejection.
Well, yeah, like, Annie. But Annie, seriously, was there not a little bit of, you know, I can't say yes right away. Was there not a bit of sort of just positioning yourself? Sometimes people like to have the upper hand in a relationship, and you can, you know, if you say no right off the top, that might make him kind of come after you a little more. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I guess I didn't realize that, you know, honestly, when I got delivered from my little manipulative, scheming harlot ways.
Yes.
I really was thinking, innocently thinking, you know, this guy's really, he's really, like, really calm and collected and patient and not a pervert. And then I was thinking, wow, if I ever did get with him, he would be really nice. And then I started to Google Striper and see, you know, what he was doing. And he was, at the time, going to, I think you went to Spain, honey. Did you go to Spain?
Yes.
Yeah. And then in Germany?
Germany, yeah.
And then they went to, I think, Norway. Came back, and then Michael and Oz, I think, well, Michael went and did the Boston thing. You were part of it, though.
Yeah. I just went to see him.
Oh, you went to see it? And then I was like, wow, he kind of is known by people. So I kind of, like, backed off a little bit, thinking, well, if I get aggressive with him, he's going to think I'm chasing him because he's famous. So I was, like, really on guard. And then finally the day came in October where he goes, hey, you want to come to a gig? I'm going to come to Las Vegas. And I was like, absolutely. And then, like, within, like, he texts me. And then in 2 seconds after I said yes, he said, can I call you? And I thought, oh, my gosh, he's calling me. I hadn't talked to him in months. And he called me, and we just hit it off, and I came to the gig. And when I walked in the door, it was a Halloween gig. Let's just say I didn't have a costume, so I just pulled out one of my old skeletons out the closet and just put on the bustier and some spike heels and said, oh, well, I'm just a hooker, you know.
Oh,
so,
my,
you know? It was actually really cute and funny at the same time.
Yeah.
The Christians might not have approved, but I was pretty hot that night. Oz noticed me.
Oh, man.
I was dressed, they asked the band to dress like 80s rockers.
Oh, that would have been hard.
So to me, it's like it was a no-brainer. Here's this beautiful lady of the night with an 80s rocker, right?
Yeah. Ding, ding, ding. Okay, so who made the first move? Like, who kind of leaned into the kiss a little more than the other person did?
Oz, you kissed me. But we both knew it was coming.
Oz, do I get an amen on that one? Are you in agreement?
I agree with that 100%. I think really what happened on that was after that night that we hung out at the costume party late at night, and then we spent the next day at her church and going out to dinner, which was really beautiful and awesome and stuff. I didn't kiss her at first right then and there. I didn't want to seem like I was being forward with her. But then over a period of the next 14 days or so, we were on the phone every day for hours. And I was supposed to come back to play with the band again in Vegas because I lived in California. And within that 14-day period that we had not seen each other, we pretty much fell in love over the phone.
Nice, nice.
Yes, we sure did.
Oh, man, my heart is just pounding. I'm all a Twitter.
I just had to see her first thing coming into town. It was late at night, and I remember telling her on the phone, I just needed to see her first, you know, before I went anywhere else.
Yeah.
And so I came to the Destiny House where she stayed and picked her up and looked into her eyes, and I just wanted to kiss her there, but I didn't. I wanted it to be a special moment.
Good for you.
So I waited, and I took her to a really nice place with a fireplace and, you know, all that kind of stuff, and just kind of took her in my arms and looked in her eyes, and I laid one on her.
Oh.
She didn't pull away at all. She just came right to me.
Mercy.
It was just one of the most touching teaching moments.
Okay, we're going to have to take a break right now.
Yes. We're getting a little bit pornographic here, aren't
oh,
we?
Oh, man. Okay, so are you guys going to live in California or Vegas?
We'll live in Vegas.
Wow, that's a big move for you, Oz.
It's a huge move for me because I never thought I'd move out of Southern California.
Yeah.
It's my home. I've been there for years, but I've never had any reason, any real solid reason to move out of town for any particular reason. I always thought I'd stay there for the rest of my life or somewhere, you know, around. But after meeting Annie and seeing her work and seeing how she interacts with the girls out here, I just can't take her away from them.
No, no. Although there's hookers in California, too, from what I hear.
True. I know that, and I'm sure she could be effective in that area as well, any area. But
absolutely.
I mean, you have developed relationships with the law enforcement, with the casino owners,
and with the hookers.
And so you just don't want to pull up from all that. I mean, that's a lot of investment.
Right now. And when that base gets really solid, Drew, you know, we have other people that are volunteering, but we're going to be employing people, and pretty soon the little baby will hatch, and I won't have to be here as much. And then I can go wherever I want.
Hold on, little baby will hatch. Hold on a second. Excuse me for a second. A little baby will hatch?
I'm not talking about my literal baby between us, although we are talking about children, but about the baby hookers for Jesus.
Oh, I see. Sorry. I thought I was breaking some news here.
I have to say this. Let's say this, that Annie and I, I've been friends with the mayor of Ontario, California for years, and he and his wife, Paul and Cheryl Leon, he and his wife know about the same kind of stuff that's going on in Pomona and Ontario and all that, and they've become very good friends with me and Annie, and they would like to see like Annie's ministry reach out to their area as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
Yep.
Cool. Very cool.
So I know that the door's open for that kind of thing, and base it out of Vegas because this is probably the heart of it all.
Yeah.
Right. And we want safe houses everywhere. My heart's desire for God is to have safe houses in every city. We need 10 of them. We already have a waiting list of women trying to come into our home right now. We need another home already. So
good for you.
You know, base God's blessing it, and we are definitely in a really good time right now for women to come out of the sex industry because the economy is so bad right now.
Well, folks, we are on the phone with Oz Fox from Striper and Annie Lobert, who, of course, is the founder of Hookers for Jesus. Yes, you heard that right, Hookers for Jesus. I've got 37 questions I need to ask in 7 minutes. So are you ready?
Okay.
Here we go. Oz, how has the death of Michael's wife, Kyle, affected you as you processed not only a divorce, but this new marriage to Annie?
I'm totally sensitive to Michael's heart and his, you know, his wife, Kyle, his, you know, deceased wife. She was just an amazing lady and was always very, very close to God. And, I was close to her as well. Like, she was my sister, and you know, I think it's just another part of my life that I've had to live with, and in life there's also the passing of your friends and family, and you know, I appreciate what I have now. What I went through in my breakup with my first marriage is something that I had to go through, and I had to learn to live with it. It happened for a reason. And everything else that happened in my life, I think, prepared me to be with somebody like Annie. I think I'm beginning a new chapter, and where I'm beginning to have a lot more compassion and understanding for things. And Annie has certainly opened up my heart to many, many things I've always been closed-minded to. And so I don't know if that answers the question.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, all I'm saying is, what are the odds of Kyle passing around the same time period that you get engaged and get married? You know, it's just too weird for that not to affect you in some way.
Yeah. Well, obviously, I totally have. I mean, what was neat was that Annie got to see, even though the death of Kyle was not a happy moment, and I was very, very upset about it, and everybody was. It brought all of us together,
right?
And I got to bring Annie out to the memorial, and her heart just was so so consoling and so awesome to everyone, and everyone embraced her.
Okay.
And I thought it was just an amazing time. And Annie really got to see the people that surround me throughout my life, and it gave her the opportunity to see the hearts and see what kind of a person I am, because obviously, you know, she could meet up with anybody and they could be, you know, they could have issues or whatnot, you know, and I was really glad she got to meet everybody.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, that is a really cool thing for her to be able to see the folks in your life and you guys loving on each other at a time where, I mean, you know, everybody was kind of vulnerable, and Annie was able to see that, and I think that probably would help Annie kind of get into your inner circle, and for your inner circle to get into Annie. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely. It was a perfect time.
Yeah.
For that.
Annie, is this your first marriage?
Yes, it is.
Did you ever think that you would be married at 41?
No. Actually, my decree that I said when I was 17, right when I was graduating high school, was, it was a joke. I wrote down on my, we call it our little eulogy for our graduation, in the paper I wrote down, by 30 I'll be married and divorced 3 times and living in Paris. Well, that obviously didn't happen.
Oh my goodness.
It was a joke, you know, because I was pretty angry at men because I had, you know.
Yeah, you got dumped.
Was gone, and yeah.
You got dumped bad by around 18, yeah. 17, 18,
yeah.
Didn't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Annie, well, we kind of, it was a mutual thing. But
Annie, yeah. Do you think, you know, I'm the guy that asks the questions that other people are thinking, but they don't, you know, they have a little more class than I do, so they don't ask the question. I have no class, so here I go. Do you think that your past played any role in guys not wanting to get involved with you? You know, you used to do what? Okay, bye-bye now.
Absolutely, but also it opened doors for people to be interested in me as well.
Sure.
And you know, probably not the right kind of people. The kind of men, and then you could just pretty much write those idiots off, the ones that are just perverts. But a real man that loves God, that understands redemption and change, that, you know, that's what happened with Oz. It opened the door for him to see who I was, and it didn't bother him. And, you know, I think, honestly, and I've kind of said this to him, I think it kind of makes things a lot more interesting for our relationship.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you'll notice it wasn't me that phoned you with the wake-up call this morning. It was my producer that phoned. I did not want to phone you guys on the morning of, you know, the first morning of your honeymoon because, I, you know, I interrupt us. I didn't want to go there. You know
well,
what I'm saying?
Don't worry. We were interrupted, but it's okay.
Okay. Oh, great.
We've been having a lot of fun. Come
okay.
on, it's our first night, and I feel like a virgin.
Wow. Oh, man. Okay, well, I want to just read a few things about each of you individually and just ask you a couple of questions here. First of all, Oz, Paul, Leah, and Tara, how old are they these days?
My oldest son, Paul. Well, sure, he's my only son, but he's 21. Leah is 19, and Tara is 14. They were all in the wedding.
Oh, that's cool. That's very cool. And the last time you toured Oz, I think, was 2005, and you had said somewhere that you were going through a tough time back then. Was that marital stuff?
Yeah, that was the divorce.
Okay.
She filed. My ex filed for divorce July of 2005.
Right.
And so we were touring from September through November of that time. So it was a real tough time.
Okay, let's jump into a quote from back in the day. Here's something from you. To be honest, Striper wasn't what we should have been spiritually speaking. I can't speak for the other guys, only for what was in my heart. My focus wasn't on mostly being an example. It was focused on wanting to be a rock star and a success. All that kind of stuff just starts taking over. I don't believe that the band as a whole was rooted like we should have been, which is the reason why some of the stuff happened near the end of the band. Do you remember feeling like that and saying that kind of stuff? Yeah.
Well, yeah, to this day, I will absolutely say that our hearts were always half-hearted throughout the whole beginning of Striper. And there was always that. There was a heart of knowing that we were Christians and that we were an example to people for Christianity and whatnot. But then there was an inner, deeper thing within us that wanted to be rock stars and have money and all that kind of stuff. And that eventually, what happens is you compromise your dedication. You're halfway dedicated to God, but you're also halfway dedicated to the
success.
World,
mm-hmm.
success.
Mm-hmm.
and your own desires. That is a carnal Christian.
Yeah.
And you have to put everything on the throne and give it to God and let Him give you what He thinks is good for you. That's what I've learned.
Oz, because I've been fairly thin my whole life, I never actually put on spandex, so I never was was actually a follower of Striper for much of my life. So I don't know what the stuff was that happened near the end of the band. Is this all water under the bridge and we shouldn't talk about it ever again?
No, I mean, there's actually a book that talks about it out, it's out for a short period of time. It's not publicated anymore, but called Loud and Clear, and it kind of mentioned a lot of the stuff that happened during that period. And I know for me personally, I know I can speak for myself, I was drinking a lot. Now, I never slept with any women, but I was dabbling in, you know, having girls being attracted to me and, you know, being in the flesh. And
yeah, you were playing with the physical boundaries.
Right, right. I shouldn't have been doing that. And I did tell my ex-wife, you know, about it and confess to her about
sure.
that kind of stuff.
Well, here, continue this quote here. To me, there was sin happening in the band. It shouldn't have been happening. The reason why it was happening is because we didn't know the Lord like we should. Again, I can't speak for the other guys. I think God was merciful. He allowed us to come to a halt. Now He's dealing with all of us, trying to show us exactly how we're supposed to be living. And I'm so thankful for that. It's a lesson learned when you realize your mistakes. So it sounds like, I don't know you from a bar of soap, dude, and I don't really want to know a bar of soap that well, but it sounds like you are a teachable dude. It sounds like the celebrity arrogance did not get a hold of you the way it could have. And it sounds like God has been hot on your backside for a long time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And believe me, it's been a tough thing to try to stay like pliable. And
pliable, that's a good word. Yeah, yeah.
It's a tough thing because the world, so many things that wants to lure you. I mean, I'm just like anybody else. I'd love to have a house and a nice car and all that stuff, but you know, only if God wants it for me. And so, you know, when you've got a friend that sees that you're driving in an old 71 VW Bug, and you've helped him and helped his family and helped his son's band produce a record and blah 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 blah, he turns around, hands you the keys to his 96 Cobra Mustang and says, "I want you to have this, Oz." You know, that's God.
Yeah.
That's God providing it for you.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I wish I had friends like that. I wish I had friends.
I was my best friend. <last night. laughs>
So now listen, Annie, I really need to do a whole nother interview with you just in and of itself. I mean, we're talking to you today in the kind of the first morning of your honeymoon. So let me kind of summarize people and bring people up to speed, and you correct me if I'm wrong at the end of this blurb. Okay, you ready, Annie?
Okay.
Grew up in a church family. Remember giving your life to Jesus at the age of 5. You're a goody two-shoes. You're a type A, but you were abused at 8. Virgin until 18. Boyfriend convinced you to put out, and then he broke your heart. At 19, you started hooking until 1998. And we're talking everything here. Prostitution, exotic strip dancing, nude modeling, drugs of every kind, sex addiction, cutting, abortions, yes, miscarriages, masturbation addiction, pornography, dominance, mistressing addiction, bisexuality, men addiction, gambling, binge drinking, smoking, anorexia, bulimia, and jail time. Just to name a few is what you're thinking.
Yeah.
On. Just to name a few. And you couldn't heal from it. So one day in 2003, after getting screwed over by your business partner, the John you happened to fall in love with as well, you ended up ODing on coke. An ambulance came. You cried out to God. A year later, it all started coming together for you.
Absolutely. You know, actually, after I quit working in 1998, I actually got back into prostitution after 3 years of sobriety. Because when the business failed, I got right back into my depressed mode and started doing cocaine again. And this time, like, you know, smoking it. And then to fill the need for my drugs, I'd go out and I gambled all the money because my partner was actually going down to Atlanta on business trips. And it really got me upset because, you know, weird stuff was going on down there. So I started to get very resentful and getting high and the business was failing. And so I got right back into prostitution.
Hmm.
So when I actually OD'd, I was a full-on prostitute again, drug addict, desperate, you know, living in a seedy hotel. We're talking where all the crack addicts hang out. Basically hitting rock bottom. Had lost my cars, my house, and stuff that I had accumulated as, they call it in the street, a square. And that was really humbling because I realized, you know what? I can't make it as a high-class girl, a stripper. I can't make it in a regular job. I can't make it as a corporate business owner, as a boss. I am just worthless, basically. And, you know, coming to that end of yourself and realizing that nothing can fill that void of the vacuum of, you know, you got a vacuum of you. The more money you get, the more money you need. The more success you get, the more success you need. You know, the more drugs you do, the more you need. The more sex you have, the more you need. It's like such imbalance was happening to me through all those years. So 16 years total, I was completely lost out of my mind, you know, trying to believe in the world system. And I finally hit the floor and hit the bottom of the well and realized I can't go any further. God, you need to help me. Basically, the prodigal daughter coming home to her daddy saying, you know what? I would love to come home because I'm eating with the pigs right now.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what happened to me. It was a total enlightenment. I got born again for the first time, I believe, where it really changed my whole, like my eyes were literally opened from the darkness. Like, I don't think I ever realized what that meant, what Jesus said, until it happened to me.
And how cool is it that your dad gave you away at your wedding?
Yeah, he was such a sweetheart yesterday. Oh, my gosh, down the aisle. Because, you know, he knows that I had rifts with him, and he knows that I was kind of mad at him and stuff, you know, years ago. We have came so far with that relationship. He was walking down the aisle with me, and right before we were hitting the aisle, he goes, wow, he goes, I sure wish I had my hanky because I'm having allergies. I'm having a lot of sniffles. And I looked at him and I said, okay, Dad, it's all good. And then we were walking down the aisle. He's just bawling his eyes out. It was so, so neat to see my dad get affected by my life.
And
I think it changed his life to see me change because, see, my dad was an alcoholic. My dad had, you know, anger issues, and God has really helped him and changed him. And my dad hasn't drank since, oh, gosh, I think it's been, wow, 38 years.
Wow, that's
it's
cool.
And he's been sober. So anyway.
That's cool. That's
great.
Cool. All right. Well, listen, guys, I mean, seriously, we've got to get you both on the show another time here. You both have such incredible stories, and, I mean, it's not boring. Your life will not be boring.
Yeah, and I'm apparently actually, not. We were on CNN this morning, too, so apparently we're not that boring.
Oh, yeah.
Hooker and rocker whip, you know? It's kind of funny.
Well, but I want to finish on this question here, okay? Annie, you've been 86 from every hotel in Las Vegas, so what hotel did you go to for your honeymoon?
Oh, it's a secret location, but let's just say it's by a lake.
Well,
actually, it's okay, I'll tell you. We're in Lake Las Vegas right now.
Oh, okay.
We are in an absolutely, and thanks to Michael Sweet, got us a suite that is like a flipping house. Okay?
Nice.
It's the largest suite in this whole establishment. I'm not joking. 20-foot ceilings. Okay. We have a 50-foot balcony. Yeah, we are totally spoiled and blessed at the same time right now. We love it. We love it. We had a continental breakfast. Not continental. What do we have? We had like a $75 breakfast this
morning.
Nice. I was like, whoa, $75.
Well,
this is a good one.
Okay, I said one time's enough, honey. The rest of the time, it's going to be Denny's, okay?
Yeah. Oh, there we go. There we go. Well, how cool is it that Michael Sweet gave you a suite? I mean, that's sweet.
Yeah,
that's good.
He's a good guy.
Hey, guys, thank you for sharing some of your life with us. And, I'd love to continue talking with you about more of the intimate details of your life, but I can't do that. I don't want to turn this into a Jerry Springer show.
Okay.
I can't do that. I can't. Love you both, and bless you both.
Hey, love you too,
okay?
Too. Take care. God bless.
God bless you guys.
See you guys.
Great weekend.
Bye-bye. Bye. The rock star and the ex-hooker on their honeymoon. Gee whiz. I guess God is really into this redemption stuff, man. Changing lives.
And he's got a great sense of humor.
Good sense of humor. When we come back from our short break, Craig Smith, the president and CEO of Swiss America. Boy, we've gone from the ridiculous to the sublime here in...
It's the Drew Marshall Show.
One foul swoop. And then Larnell Harris, Grammy Award-winning recording artist, joining us shortly after 3:30. Useless television trivia coming up, too, folks. And Carrie Pomeroli, our Hollywood correspondent. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.